Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
702, welcome back in. It's the morning shift. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We will have every spouse from the morning shift on an 8 o'clock hour. Yes, I am terrified. No, I'm just kidding. My wife and Bo's wife will play Fair or Foul today, hosted by Allie Mack at 8 o'clock. That's not at 7:40. It'll be at 8 o'clock today. I had to clear it out when the wife got done with the kid drop-off. You know what I mean? She's like, I don't think I can do 7:40. It's in the middle of a dumpster fire, a whirlwind, if you will, as she drops the kids off at daycare. But she'll join us at 8 o'clock, as will Miss Amy Morgan, to do a little Fair or Foul. Then Grant McCauley will come on at 8:40, and we will just open up a can on the McCauley household and get a lot of answers about a lot of things, including those Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something.
Strider.
I don't make threats, but
but here comes one.
But if I get sabotaged in an 8 o'clock segment, all hell's going to break loose at 8:40.
This is so crazy. I didn't even put this together that like all the spouses are going to be on during the 8 o'clock hour, and really there could be revenge as soon as I ask these questions.
Yeah. I'm going to be like Wyatt Earp and Tombstone.
That's what I said.
You tell them I'm coming.
Yeah, I told her this morning. I said, look, I'm just going to tell you, it's not as much fun when the rabbit's got the gun, okay? Yeah. What goes around comes around in this world. And sometimes just 20 minutes later, you know what I mean? So karma is a real thing in radio, but that'll be so much fun today. The three rookies that are not first rounders for the Atlanta Falcons. We talked yesterday. Atlanta Falcons rookie minicamp opens this weekend. And part of that yesterday was those three guys, and I'm talking about Billy Moman, Xavier Watts, and Jack Nelson, joining Dukes and Bell yesterday. Now, there's a lot of this to get through. And they all did a really nice job being on the phone with Dukes and Bell, chopping it up, having a lot of fun, kind of telling draft stories. I got to tell you guys, and I think the one guy that's not talked about, and for good reason, we all know when it comes to seventh-round draft picks, you hope they can develop into something. But, you know, it's kind of a toss-up whether or not you'll actually see these guys on the field. Jack Nelson, the offensive tackle out of Wisconsin, was taken in the seventh round. There is a lot of upside. I'm going to tell you, and he already knows what the upside is, so we'll get to that in just 1 second. But I do want to play this cut. And basically, Carl and Mike yesterday, just like, hey, man, you know, we have one thought when it comes to Wisconsin offensive linemen. Is that true for you? And, you know, is that run for your family?
Yeah. You know, I played at Wisconsin with my younger brother. He's on the team there still. My dad played at Wisconsin. All of them played O-line. And, you know, football just kind of runs real deep. I got three younger brothers. They all play football. And so to kind of be here is a dream come true.
I am just, guys, I'm just picturing this family. So I have a sister, but I'm just picturing just a household full of offensive linemen, just wrestling matches. You can't find enough pizzas for this group.
Yeah, how expensive is their grocery bill?
Right, just outrageous. I love to hear from, he's like, my dad played offensive line. You know, I love hearing from this guy, man, because he just, to me, he's just like, yes, dude, I want that as a guy. Now, I played with a couple of Wisconsin offensive linemen. I don't think they really fit the bill. Peter Kahns was here, Gabe Creamy. I know that Gabe did, Peter Kahns to a lesser extent. Actually, I think Peter Kahns is a lawyer now, so that kind of lines up. But nonetheless, man, I think it's interesting, Bo, to kind of hear that from Jack Nelson.
I'm like the only person in the world. Well, that I'm the only person that one of the few people that could have got that Peter Kahns joke right there, unless they played with you. Do you, as an offensive lineman or a guy that played the position, Allie and her rookie report was like, radio people have these tendencies, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about white noise. As an offensive lineman, Mike, when you hear a guy sound like an offensive lineman, does it just like make your hair stand up on your arm? Like you're like, yeah, man, because you know they got a real one.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that because we're gonna. I want to talk about this at length for the next couple of minutes. And in order to get there, I'm gonna get Garrett to play this because I got to tell you, I almost stood up out of my chair earlier when I heard this cut. And this is about Jack Nelson and what exactly he brings to this offense.
I would agree with that. I think I'm pretty good on the backside of zone stuff, especially cutting off on those backside plays. I think my quickness and my lateral agility really helps me out there.
Woo!
So I would definitely have to agree with that. I'm really excited for this offense.
I mean, dude, you know me. Yes. Wham, wham, wham. You know me. That guy is a part of the mafia. Because he understands what this offense is. He understands what his role is. He understands how he can make this team. Lateral agility, cutting off on the backside of these wide zone schemes. And I've told you this. You have been in this conversation as I've talked to Jake Matthews about this. This offense can be so friendly to offensive linemen to the point where we draft a guy in the seventh round and you can make something out of these guys. And I'm not saying that Jack Nelson at any point in his career will be a starter or even a guy that gets in the game for the Atlanta Falcons. That's too much of a leap right now leading into minicamp. But to hear him say that he understands that role and what exactly he can bring to the table and why the Atlanta Falcons might have drafted him, Bo, it brought a tear to my eye. I welled up a little bit. I was like, this guy gets it, man.
Yeah, and I think they can move him inside too a little bit, right? I think he's a guy that could move if they needed, but he's a swing. He's a swing guy is the way they drafted him. And the fact that he already knows that this is perfect for him.
Yes.
And it's like one of those things where when you hear about a situation that you're about to have in your professional life, and it's you're like, I don't know if it's a fit. Your mindset's completely different when you know, man, this is perfect. If I go in here and work my butt off and make this right, I could play for – this could have me in the league for 7 to 8 years.
Yeah.
10 years. And, look, when you're a seventh-round draft pick, a seven-year career is a dream.
Oh, it's a home run. There's no doubt about it. It's a home run.
And I also I know we were just talking, but when I hear you get – and I know we have been a little bit – we've had some bugaboos here with some Wisconsin guys on the line. But when I hear Wisconsin offensive linemen,
mm-hmm.
I think – run the football, powerhouse.
Mauler. Yeah. They've had Wisconsin in here recently, you know, because Bama played them last year. They were in the midst of an identity crisis. It was like what do they used to call it, the fun and gun or whatever? This is the run and gun. Like they just went to spread and then they just ran it with five offensive linemen, which should in theory work out, but it didn't really. I don't think they had the players to quite get it done. But I'm with you, man. This is one of those things where you look at it and you just think Wisconsin guy, you think Mauler. I don't know that physically, he can be an interior guy. He's a little bit taller. I was a tall interior guy when I played interior. He's taller than I am, I believe. But I think he's a guy that just kind of fits what they're willing to do with him. And I love the fact that you can hear it come out of his mouth that he's like, dude, I know what they need from me. I'm like, dude, I'm so stoked. And Allie, I'm sad that your rookie report already passed because you're going to learn from me. And I've said this a number of times. I didn't play offensive line. I don't think guys play offensive line. I think you just are an offensive lineman mm-hmm. just by nature. Like it's just one of those things. You don't just do that.
Since it's pretty much just instilled in you then, what would be your advice today so that he could make the team in the future?
I would tell him as a seventh round draft pick. It's a great question. I would tell him as a seventh round draft pick and a guy that understands that to get really, really good at one thing. I think that a lot of times when you are a rookie and you come in these situations, you tend to focus on your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Like you want to make your weaknesses better. And as a first round pick or a second round pick, I think there's a lot to that. Like, I don't want to have this glaring weakness. When you're a seventh round guy, you're not really vying at this point for a starting position, or at least we don't think so, right? I would tell him to focus on backside cutoffs. I would tell him to focus on pass pro or whatever it is that he thinks is his strength. And I would focus in on that. And I would, because you know that if you have to go in a pinch and you're a swing tackle or whatever, that offensive coordinator can look and go, well, we know that Jack Nelson's in. I know he can cut off the backside. I know we can rely on him for that. So let's lean into that and you know, worry less about the things that you're not as strong at. I think that's what I would tell most seventh rounders, specifically on the offensive line.
I mean, you know, I would remind them of guys like Ryan Schrader.
Great call.
Hey, that's a great call. Wasn't a seventh round guy. He was an undrafted guy. And I always say that because you don't, Mike, forgive me a little bit, but you don't know whose injury you are away from having a spot, and then whose free agency signing you are away from competing for a spot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan Schrader, I don't know. I don't want to get my years wrong, but Ryan Schrader's around the time where you were supposed to have the job.
You're spot on. As a matter of fact, I don't even think I've ever told you this story, but I'm about to do it right now. So I got hurt my final play as a football player ever. I was playing tight end. This is the training camp. I think we were playing the Titans in a preseason game 2014. It was my last play ever. I was in as a tight end. And my backup, in theory, at that tight end spot was a guy way down the depth chart named Ryan Schrader. And I got hurt. And the tight end, it was like a package. Like, you know, it wasn't like you always stay on the field as an offensive lineman. You had a jumbo package where you'd go in. So I didn't, like, I knew that I was probably coming off. Like, the package was called. I laid a block. I was going to come off the field. I didn't want to lay down on the field. So I limped off the field, which is never a good thing. And I get mad at myself this day. But they called jumbo again as I'm limping off. And I'm like, I can't go. And I look up, and Mike Tice grabs Ryan Schrader, and he's like, you got to go play tight end. And that was the last play I ever played. And before you know it, Ryan Schrader is starting at offensive tackle. And then ended up having a good career. And, you know, made a lot of money and does his thing. And it was a good player for the Atlanta Falcons for a number of years in that Super Bowl run. So it just happens. You can snap your fingers. And it's like, dude, your time is now. You've got to go. And Ryan Schrader was one of those guys. And to my point earlier, Jack Nelson can be if he focuses on all the right things. So it's a great call by you, Bo.
Yeah, I totally agree. And unfortunately, I remember I was there. And so it's why. And I don't ever like talking about it because it's – I know for me personally, if I was in your – I mean, I would be able to talk about it, but, you know, that's always just a tough spot.
Yeah.
And, the other guy that and Mr. Yo was tweeting me, and I've been wanting to ask you, me and you, to talk about this guy, and I don't want to change away from Jack Nelson, but there's a guy that was undrafted, since we're talking about undrafted guys, at Oregon State, in Joshua Gray.
Yeah.
And you talk about taller guys. He's 6'5", 300. So he's – I've watched some stuff on him, and I've read some stuff. I'm telling you guys, I might be crazy, but I actually think they're going to try to cross train this guy at center.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. There are opportunities, I think, on the interior, and it's not that, you know, some of those guys haven't been good. I think we've you know, obviously we think a lot of Storm Norton. I do. I think Storm Norton plugged in very well, the last couple of years, but. There are opportunities there for you to upgrade a little bit if a guy can step up to the plate. There always will be when you talk about the seventh and eighth pieces on an offensive line, right? And you don't know what you have in Javon Gwynn moving forward. It's one of those things. Matthew Hennessy's been in and out the last couple of years and has provided a little bit of depth at center. You don't know what's going on there. So we'll see what happens on that offensive line. Boy, I love to. It's 7:15. We were talking about offensive line play, baby. 7:15 in May. Let's give ourselves a round of applause.
Woo!
Talk a little bit of offensive line play. 7:15 in May.
Yeah, okay.
I love it,
okay.
Man. I love it. No, well, to your point, I agree with though. I agree.
It's important, though. And, you know, it's not sexy to talk about, to think about, to draft, to hear a signing, or any of that stuff for the fan base and for the hype, but it is – you don't win Super Bowls. You don't make win division titles without trench play. And I mean, average was probably not going to get you there either.
Yeah. We're going to roll on here in the morning shift. We come back. We're going to get to a cut from Billy Bowman, who obviously played safety at Oklahoma. Expect a little bit different role from him. We're also going to go in the huddle. Yesterday, Garrett, on our conference call, asked a question out loud about a guy possibly coming to Atlanta. And without skipping a beat, Bo and I both said, no, it's not happening. You'll hear that question on the other side of the break. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, I didn't know where I was going to go. I mean, obviously, it was a lot of different news and noise of kind of where the range I was supposed to go. But obviously, when the Falcons called me, I was really excited. I mean, I get to learn from one of the best safeties in the NFL. So, I mean, I'm just really excited to be, you know, be on the team in general and then learn from a good safety. So,
boom! That's Falcons rookie Xavier Watts hanging out with our buddies Dukes and Bell yesterday afternoon, man. A lot of fun.
We're going to have to correct Xavier right off the bat.
What's going on?
Not one of the best safeties in the league.
Yeah.
The best
takes
safety
the crown.
In
he's,
the league.
He's P1.
I'm a ride or die for Jesse Bates.
Okay.
And I will be the first to admit I was not like – I was like, we signed a safety to what?
Yeah.
I mean, do they know our needs?
Worked out.
Safety was a need, but it just – but I'm so excited about Watts.
Yeah, I am too. Obviously, you know, Notre Dame captain, second year in a row we've drafted a Notre Dame captain. You love hearing that. And let me just bring people back in real quick. It is the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92 on the game. Mike Johnson, Allie Mack. Bo Morgan hanging out for the last time at his own house because they were expecting him back next week in the studio. But nonetheless, he's been his same old spry self through the headset. And Big G, Garrett, running the ones and twos behind the glass. I enjoyed all three of these interviews yesterday, Bo. I think that all these guys were very matter of fact. And I think you want them to be. I think that as a media person, Allie, that we look at these guys and it's like, come on, man. Like, give me something to chew on here. You know what I mean? Like, where's the cut? Where can we come at? All these guys were so matter of fact and like very professional sounding and very much like, hey, I got to get into camp. I got to get to work. I'm very happy to be a part of the Atlanta Falcons organization. And I think that when you look at it that way, it's nice to hear from them.
I mean, it's like taking a new job. You don't want to have this viral moment happen before you get there and get to prove yourself. So, of course, they're very matter of fact. And you got to be a little bit proud of them for that.
Yeah. What was the who was the guy last year, Bo? I think he was the Florida State guy that went to Buffalo. Keon Coleman, was that it? Where he's talking about the trench coats and how he
got
some at Marshalls and stuff. Like,
well, don't forget
so out of pocket, dude.
Don't forget, was it Leggett at at the Panthers? And he was talking about like eating raccoons or something.
Yes. So.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So you never know what you're gonna get, and I just. I think that it's important to kind of highlight because you get all three of these guys on Dukes and Bell yesterday and you're just sitting there going, oh, hey, you know, let's break into scheme conversations and fit. But you got to remember these guys, this is their first time suiting up. Mm-hmm. Like the videos are coming out, guys, of them getting their Falcons helmet for the first time. They don't know. They don't know. Like, you know, Billy Bowman is probably going to play nickel, Bo. But he's not going to sit here and be like, yeah, the rotation's been really good. Clark Phillips been a good – like, no, this is rookie minicamp, dude. Like, you have to get in where you fit in at this point, and they'll be able to answer a lot of these questions more in-depth here in a few weeks.
He doesn't know – I don't want him talking about – like, it's easy to know Jesse Bates play here when you're Bowman or
yeah,
Wise.
Exactly.
But I don't need – I don't expect or want or need to hear Billy Bowman talk about, yeah, Clark's been – you know, I know he's had some moments at nickel, and he's – but, you know, I don't – dude, don't know.
Exactly.
You know, come in here and talk about what you bring. And that was one of the things that he did. Garrett, I know we might have that, but he talked about, you know, creating turnovers being his thing. And it's interesting to hear.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely my forte. I love getting the ball back for the offense. You know, that's something that I've done all my life, really, you know, just being able to find the ball when it's thrown in the air and go make plays on it. So I'll definitely be bringing that aspect.
Mm. Mike, I got a question.
Okay.
I understand creating turnovers is a forte. He's been phenomenal at it. I think with those guys combined, they added like 30 interceptions or something with Bowman and Watts. But if he is indeed playing that nickel spot, it's a little – correct me if I'm wrong or maybe add some insight to this, but I am under the thought process that that's great, but it's a little bit harder to create those opportunities from that nickel spot. I'm not saying he can't bat a ball up or undercut a route, but for me, in that nickel, my main thing is I need you to be that. I need you to shut down and tackle well. Like, you know, tackle quick little passing routes, maybe, you know, be a shutdown guy in that nickel. Because when you're in the safety spot, it's a lot easier to read and react and be a ball hawking type player. It's a little bit hard to me, I think, in that nickel spot.
Yeah, and I'm going to give you my feedback on this and how I view it. And breaking news, I didn't play nickel. So take this for what it's worth.
I did not know that.
Yeah, earth-shattering, if you will, that I was not, you know, out there in coverage. But here's the way I feel about this. I think when you're at nickel, specifically the way that I expect him to be utilized by Jeff Ulbrich or whoever's really at that spot, I think your job is more to create turnovers for other people. And whether that be blanketing a guy on the interior, like on a quick slant, just imagine Billy Bowman or whoever it is kind of draping their arms a little bit at contact when the ball's thrown and kind of, you know, deflecting that ball up into the air, allowing guys like Jesse Bates and Xavier Watts or whoever else back there to get that ball and pick it off after the deflection. I think it's very hard, to your point, as a nickel, specifically a box guy on the interior of the defense, to kind of step in front of a ball. I think that you can do it. It's just a little bit harder, to your point, than it is on the outside corner spot where there's more of a longer throw, more downfield stuff. The ball's less in front of you at times.
It doesn't get you the stats that you want, you know, that interception. I'm going to tell you what, though. When you do those things that you just talked about, Mike, it gets your ass paid.
Yeah.
And it keeps you on the field. Is what the primary thing is, you stay on the field, and it gets you paid.
Yeah, it definitely does. You know what else will probably get us paid at some point is going in the huddle. We got to talk about a couple of different topics here. First and foremost, this is going to be big for us next week. The NFL schedule is supposed to be released on Wednesday night next week. So a lot of coverage from us on that. But it looks like the NFL is saying it'll be teased throughout the week, building up to the official release, like I said, 8 o'clock on Wednesday. It looks like on this schedule for the teasers is NBC's Today Show on Monday, Fox, Amazon Prime. Tuesday, you're talking about Good Morning America. And Wednesday, CBS Mornings and Netflix. I don't know how that's going to work. I have no clue. But nonetheless, got to give everybody a slice of the pie.
I mean, Netflix has been handling WWE very well, yes. So they can do this.
Right. They've had football games. Yeah. I just, you know, the whole thing, there's not like a studio show. I don't know, you know, what exactly that'll be like. But maybe it's just its own special, its own standalone.
It'll just be like the other live events where when you open your Netflix up, yeah. It'll be like this is happening live and you click on it.
Like a Jake Paul fight.
Yeah, that was
click on it and it crashed.
Luckily for Netflix, the NFL experience on Christmas went a lot better than that.
They have fixed those issues. I mean, that was the one time it happened.
Yeah. Speaking of which, how about Pacquiao's unretiring? I don't know. That's a conversation for another day. Manny Pacquiao at 46 going to fight again. I don't need him to go the Roy Jones Jr. route. No, thank you. But like I said, we're in the huddle right now. So yesterday the news broke
just pulled a me.
Yeah, I went way off the rails. Yesterday, the news broke out of Carolina, out of Charlotte, that two things were happening. Number one, running back Jonathan Brooks was be putting on the PUP list. So that means he's out for the season. Remember, they drafted him with a torn ACL, and then, you know, he gets hurt three games into his career last year. Unfortunate, obviously, kind of see it coming. The other thing is that edge, Jadeveon Clowney, who did sack Michael Penix last year in that game, is being let go over in Carolina. Now, I want to bring Garrett in here. And I want him to simply ask the question that he asked yesterday, Bo, and you and I will give the appropriate follow-up response.
So Jadeveon Clowney, I mean, of course he's a journeyman guy. He's been a lot of different places, and they paid him $20 million to come in and do a job. But the big question is, can he come in and do something for the Atlanta Falcons?
No!
They were 26 in run defense.
Is he going to plug the middle?
This is exactly why he's not going to be here. No, it is. It's funny because we both had the same reactions. Like, dude, we just drafted two edges. We also have Arnold Abakady who still needs to show out. We signed Leonard Floyd. We don't know what Braylon Trice is. The last thing we need is to pick up. And Jadeveon Clowney, make no bones about it. Jadeveon Clowney is who's the reliever you can point to that's just been around Major League Baseball? Like Aroldis Chapman? Like, that's Jadeveon Clowney. He's not going to be – you're not going to sign a long-term contract with him. He's going to get a year here and a year there, and you know that he could probably shine and get back to his old form at some point. But you're never going to say, hey, man, here's a four-year deal. Like, it just – that's not who he is.
I don't want to be a seventh team. Also, I don't have the $10 million he's probably going to ask for.
Yeah,
for
and he's going to get it from somebody. He's going to get it from somebody.
This isn't personal with Jadeveon Clowney. No. It's just realistic that, okay, I'm bad against the run. Well, I just drafted two guys who were supposed to be very good against the run on the edge. So I'm going to take them off the field so Clowney can get – I can justify paying him what he wants. I need a guy in the interior in my thought. I'm not sure that – I don't think the Falcons necessarily think this, but I would rather have interior help than edge help right now.
Yeah,
I think I've addressed that.
There's no doubt about that, and I am curious, and I still say that at some point moving up towards the season, you will need to sign an A-gap defender. I know that we haven't heard any inklings about that. I'm curious if after you move through OTAs, if you're going, this is not going to work like we thought it would. Eddie Goldman's not here. Grady Jarrett's not here. Man, I don't know who's going to play that A-gap, that nose guard, that one technique position for the Atlanta Falcons moving forward, but maybe there's a move coming at some point. All right, we're going to go to break. We still have so much more fun stuff left to come. We're going to do Fair or Foul with my wife and Bo's wife coming up at 8 o'clock, and it's Allie Mack. We'll give them the rundown. When we come back on the other side of the break, we'll talk more about the Atlanta Braves last night. There was a couple of sacrifice bunts being laid down. You small ball guys, stand up. Pause. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 99 The Game.
Here we go again. Through the left side. Ozzie's coming home. And the Braves win it in 11.
I told you.
The rookie Baldwin delivers. A little Truist magic tonight for the Atlanta Braves.
Fun series between the Braves and the Reds. Obviously, the Braves getting the walk-off win last night, 5-4. Shout out to Drake Baldwin for being able to get it done. This is the Morning Shift. Mike, Allie, and Bo, and Garrett filling in for Dylan. Look, say whatever you want to about this team offensively, on the mound, the bullpen, the clutchness, the sack bunts. In the end, you win a series, and that's what matters at this point, no matter what's going on with the Reds. And that will be the aim, Bo, moving into tonight against the Pirates team that just fired their manager.
Yeah, and you go back to the Twins series that when they were 5-13 going into the Twin Series, right, Mike? And yeah, they sweep that. They take 2 of 3 from the Cardinals.
Seems
two
like
of three
a year
from the
ago.
Diamondbacks. 2 of 3 from the Rockies. They lose 2 of 3 to the Dodgers, and then they take 3 of 4 from the Reds. So that is, I don't know that. I don't know how many that is. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the last 7 series they've won, or something like that. Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe 5 of the last 6. I don't know, something like that. That's good. That's how, you know, we talked about this when they started 0-7, that how can you get back to 500? You don't need to go on a 12-game winning streak or anything like that.
Yeah. You did. Look, man, you got Scott Blewett last night, gets 2 scoreless innings. Allie, the jokes were plentiful on social about he didn't blow it.
Of course.
Then there was, you know, people making jokes about, you know, if he would have, it would have been a bummer.
And, of course.
You know what I mean? Just flooding in from all different directions, which I love. Scott Blewett, I think, and I'll ask Grant this coming up at 8:40 when we talk to Grant McCauley. I think he cemented himself as part of this staff whenever Craig Kimbrell has done marinating. We've wondered what Scott Blewett is since they've added him. I know there's a lot of people that said the peripherals were good on Scott Blewett, and, like, you know, his exit velocity on his pitches and the batting average on balls in play and, you know, XFIP and all that other stuff going on. But he's been solid, and he's definitely got good stuff. I'll be curious to see what the eventual roster move is. But Scott Blewett last night, Bo, I thought you brought up a good point, man. What a outing for him. And Montero, you got to throw that in as well. He was good too. Both those guys kind of at the back end of the pen at this point.
I didn't think Blewett was necessarily bad with his numbers or the other two spots he was at. He just, for whatever reason, wasn't a guy that lasted there. He, to me, is the long inning relief guy now. He's taken over that. Right now, I have him as the Chavez of this team, which is that long inning relief.
Yep.
Where you need a guy, and he's got better stuff at the moment. He did really good in that when he was the air quote opener for in place of Strider or whatever that was, and he gave you 3 innings then. Last night, Allie said it earlier, he saved the game for them. He did. He came in the 10th and the 11th with guys on and was great.
Yeah. Especially coming on the heels of the Raisel Iglesias, and Allie's like, that's my guy.
I know.
And he let us down.
And he was his bobblehead night, so I hate that
dude,
that happened,
yes,
on his bobblehead night.
I still have the image in my head of Wiley Ballard just sitting there just with the bobblehead, you know, giving it this thing back and forth. Absolutely hilarious. I do want to highlight, too, Bo, before we get to mic'd up here in a minute, which we'll talk about the Chicago affiliations of the new Pope. And mic'd up today is not Fair Foul because that's at 8 o'clock. You guys won't want to miss that. I do want to highlight Michael Harris, and you said it earlier, Bo, probably the biggest night offensively for Michael Harris all season. And my first question is, since you were kind of being a little bit of a Karen about the Tyrese Halliburton celebration, did you have a problem with Michael Harris on third base with the Elvis hip thrust and the snake tongue? Like, was that a thing for you too, or are we worried about that?
No, I mean,
okay,
yeah, like, you know, I don't think Michael Harris's dad came down on the field and approached anybody recently. I don't think that everybody knows what a hip thrust means. And a hip thrust could mean anything. I mean, little kids do hip thrust dances all the time. I don't see many kids walk around with a big ball celebration like they're Randy from South Park, okay? So let's just chill on that.
They were basketballs, okay?
And
they were basketballs.
I will say this. Michael Harris was 5 of his last 40 going into the night. Last night, he was 3 for 5. I thought, and he's been bad, but had a couple of clutch moments in this series.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Had another one last night. I know that, I think Dave O'Brien wrote an article about, despite the you know, what he's been in recently, they, you know, the Braves are obviously a team that they're not giving up on him. He's just not been very good from the plate.
Yeah.
You look at since his rookie year, but so 20, you know, in 23 it was all right. He had an 808 OPS, but then it was 722 last year. It's 564 this year.
Yeah.
And that was going into last night. He has just not been good from the plate, but I have a lot of hope, and I think he is going to be a guy that tremendously benefits from Ronnie coming back.
Yeah.
He would also benefit from Ozzie Albies getting his ish together,
which to me
is the bigger issue.
And that's the point I think that I want to make, too, is we talk about Michael Harris has been an issue. And it all comes down to, guys, it comes down to what you expected of them this year. And we talked to Grant before the season. It's like, who's a breakout candidate? It's always going to be Michael Harris until he breaks out, until he is, like, not an MVP guy, but a guy that you're talking about, you know, top 20 offensively in Major League Baseball. You haven't gotten that out of him. You haven't gotten that out of Ozzie, which highlights – the other struggles from a guy like Matt Olson, to your point. And I know you were on one of your Twitter rants the other day, Bo, about Matt Olson has had, good contact rate, everything else, and it's just highlighted by the fact that the guys behind him more times than not have not been able to do anything or even get on base. So you're getting what you got out of Ozuna. You got that. Obviously, he carried the team at times last year. Matt Olson has obviously upped his game, as has Austin Riley and Sean Murphy, but it's still the other two guys when you talk about the battery of players for the Atlanta Braves and Michael Harris and Ozzie Albies that just, if you can get them just going at a little higher clip, you feel like this thing's going to open up.
Matt Olson is never going to be Freddie Freeman, so stop comparing him to him. And I hear that way too much. I let Freeman walk for this guy. Freddie walked on his own. And Matt Olson has been, you know, everybody talks about the back of the baseball card. I mean, he's a 30-homer, 100 RBI guy virtually every – his years in Atlanta, 34 homers, 103 RBIs. 54 homers, 139 RBIs. Last year, 29 homers, 98 RBIs. And he's already got 6-20 this year. Part of the argument I was having was the guy's like, he's hitting 220-something. Dude, batting average doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Yes, you want to hit, but the thing that matters is guys want to, you know, they look at the on base percentage, which is at a .366 clip, which would be is his best since in Atlanta other than the 2023 year, which was his best year of his career in every statistic. But he's got he's got 33 strikeouts, Mike. You know how many walks he's got? 28. He's gotten 28 walks. Because he's not getting pitches to necessarily hit because there's just a hole behind him.
Yeah,
with Albies and Matt Olson is still getting just get on base, dude. I mean, I want him to, but there was an at bat last night late in the game where he walks and I don't think he saw a pitch he could hit.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Al, you mentioned that Grant brought you a bobblehead last night.
He did. He brought me the Rice Iglesias bobblehead last
night. Nice work, Grant.
He knows that's my guy.
Did he grab me one of the NASCARs from, I think, Tuesday? Did he didn't even think
of me. I'll let you ask him.
Wow.
I have one of those for you if you want it.
See that
right
there?
He's trying to make up for all the gout comments.
Hey, he
treat me like
bringing
an 80-year-old
up the gout. I don't
with the play.
I don't want to talk about the gout.
I don't think it's what you think it is, Gary. You make it. You talk about it like it is. It is like this disgusting thing.
He's like, I haven't talked about it at all. Something.
I haven't brought it up a single time,
dude. It's just like swelling. It's just a little acid in your foot, a little swelling.
Yeah, it's.
Bo knows a lot about gout.
I worked with Steak Shapiro for like 15 years, dude.
Yeah,
and Mike Johnson for two.
It does have a terrible name. It does sound old. Sounds like a blood flow issue.
You need to rebrand it.
Sounds. Hey, one in three men. One in three men.
This is a great time to talk about the Pope, Garrett. Let's hit a mic'd up. If you are used to coming here at this time on Friday and expecting fair foul, I have good slash bad news for you, but good news for you. That is coming up at 8 o'clock with Bo's wife and my wife, and they will both be grilled on Fair or Foul by Allie Mack. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. I think I might head there tonight. On single daddy duty tonight, I might head out and take the kids over, man, because that's what you do. You bring your herd to Buffalo's Cafe.
What? Wait, you're on single daddy duty again tonight?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
More dancing or?
It's Mother's Day weekend, so that's what you do on Mother's Day weekend. You usually hook up the moms for a little time off. I'm not trying to give you any notes, but, you know, just take that for what it's worth. All right, and we'll hear from the newest mother on the morning shift coming up at 8 o'clock, which I'm sure will be just riveting when, you know, when she's asked about what her expectations are over the next couple of days, because it doesn't sound like there's going to be anything going on. Anyhow, if you guys have, I don't know, been under a rock for the last couple of days, the first American Pope was crowned over the course of the last couple of days, and he's from Chicago. And one of the things that's been a lot of fun about this has been the back and forth in Chicago sports. I heard Dukes and Bell yesterday playing the Bulls intro about this guy, this guy from Villanova. You know, it's coming in at 5'11 from Villanova. So it's been a lot of fun, the back and forth. Well, one of the things that broke out yesterday on the socials was this back and forth between the Chicago Cubs and the Chicago White Sox. Now, you guys brought up earlier that your parents are both Pittsburgh fans.
Correct.
My dad was born in Joliet, Illinois, right outside Chicago. I was brought up as a Cubs fan for that reason, even though I lived in the South. So I'm obviously paying attention to a lot of stuff, to the point where the Cubs put on their Jumbotron. Like, we'd love to have him come sing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game."
Oh, my goodness.
And we're so happy that, you know, we can finally have a Cubs fan and all this other stuff. Like, he can come throw out the first pitch. Well, I want you to hear this sound, because the Pope's brother, the new Pope's brother, was actually brought onto a number of newscasts yesterday, and he had some interesting thoughts on this.
Yeah, he was never, ever a Cubs fan, so I don't know where that came from. He was always a Sox fan. Our mother was a Cubs fan. I don't know, maybe that clued in there. And our dad was a Cardinals fan, so I don't know where that all came from. And all the aunts, our mom's family was from North Side, so that's why they were Cubs fans.
But he rooted for the White Sox.
That's right. But where it came from, I don't know, because he would have been the only one.
First of all, what a dysfunctional family. You got Cardinals fans and Sox fans and Cubs fans all under one roof. That's like a complete mismatch. But it is funny, man. We're talking about the Pope here. We're talking about the Pope. And his brother goes on to say, you know what? I remember a lady telling him in first grade. He told the lady he wanted to be a priest. And she said, oh, maybe you'll be an American Pope.
Oh,
in the
wow.
first grade. And he said, man, it's just crazy to think back on, because life's taking us on a couple of different journeys here. But
I've been sent a photo. My boy Jorge sent me a photo, apparently, of the Pope at the White Sox-Astros World Series.
That
I don't know if it's real
or
not.
Is incredible.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they were even talking to Cubs owner Tom Ricketts yesterday, and he's like, yeah, man, hey, love to have him in the house. It's perfect. White Sox obviously answer back, and they're like, I don't know where all this craziness came from, but this guy's a Southsider, okay? He's part of the White Sox regime. And look, man, I don't know. For the most part, I've never dealt with, like, and this is, like, I'm going to go away from the fact this guy's the Pope. Let's just focus on his family for a second. I don't know I've ever heard of three different fandoms under one roof. Like, that's a little bit of a red flag for me. Like, how, like, you know, there was a point in time under the Carey household. I'm talking about Skip and obviously Chip and Harry. Like, Harry worked for the Cardinals mm-hmm. for a long time. Then he worked for the Cubs. And then, obviously, Skip was with the Braves. Chip was with the Braves. Chip's back. So there is a little bit of that there. And you'd want to talk about, like, a holy family in terms of baseball. That's one of them. But I don't know that I've ever heard of three different fandoms under one roof like this. I'm like, dude, what are you guys doing? Like, you're not as plugged in as you're trying to make it out here.
It's odd. There's no unity in that family.
Yeah, can you imagine if I was married to, like, an Auburn fan? Like, oh, God.
That would be insane.
My God.
But can you imagine if your sibling became the Pope, and then you're being interviewed, and you're like, okay, I can't say that thing about him sneaking out. I can't really give that. Or you could, and you could go viral for that.
I would probably be that guy.
I don't think he's worried about virality. He's just like,
where's he going to live? Does he have to live at the Vatican?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's his
house.
He's
the Pope. I'm sure he'll make frequent trips. But, I mean, yeah, the last time I checked, Pope was at the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
Right
Does
there
he have
in Rome.
Servants and stuff? I don't know much about this. I'm not a Catholic.
I
don't think servants is the word he's going to go with. No, I don't think that's going to be something that's going to fit in the vocabulary of, you know, the Pope. Anyways, man, a lot of fun on that. I know that the guys on Dukes and Bell had a lot of fun with that last night. And it's just, you know what, there's just the strange times where you get to include the Pope in an American sports conversation and you have to take full advantage of it. Look, we got to go to break, man. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. When we come back, the showdown that is Fair or Foul, a special edition, a Mother's Day edition, Miss Amy Morgan against Miss Lindsey Johnson. That will happen right here on the other side of the break. Stick with us. It's the morning shift.
Mike.
Sports Radio 929 The Game. Yes, it is.